All right. If the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on a tack. So this Friday night, I understand one of the prizes will be a VeggieTale movie. I happened to watch part of a VeggieTale movie this morning before church. Our great-granddaughter, our granddaughter and grandson-in-law live with us. Little Ava was watching a VeggieTale movie. And what I heard, what I caught was a gentleman saying, "But I don't want to go to Nineveh. I don't want to go to Nineveh." And I'm pretty sure you know who that was. But it is something that these kids can learn so very young. Now, today is baby dedication. We got a few things we need to take care of. Sister Grant and Sister Thomas. Sister Grant will introduce the couples, the babies, and then they will pin corsages. The florist shop got a little mixed up, and they gave us corsages that fit on the wrist. So that might be easier for you to hold the baby anyway, but Sister Grant.
Okay, and Brother Grant was talking about Jonah saying, "I don't want to go to Nineveh." Brother Grant came through the bedroom saying, "But I don't want to go to Nineveh. I don't want to go to Nineveh." So he's going through his second childhood. Okay, we are so happy to see all these proud parents this morning. And it's a beautiful day. It's not raining and the sun is shining. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, when I call your name, I want you to just stand. I had one parent say, "Oh, don't make me say anything." So, and I won't. So, and if I butcher your child's name up, it's all your fault. Okay? Just kidding. I want Brittany and Brad to stand. And they are dedicating Jack and Sophia Grace. Now, this couple was recently baptized and received the Holy Ghost. Isn't that fantastic? Now we have Nazli and Roberto, and their sweet little girl, Caroline. And then we have Melissa Plasky. And she is also a new convert. And she is dedicating her two children, Aviana. I was going to call it that, and Tony said, "No, go for Aw." So I did. Okay. And then the little boy's name is Parnell. Okay. Now, last but not least, and this little girl, if her mom and dad ever have to get stern with her and call her all of her names, it's going to take a while. Claude and Tara Abga. And they are dedicating Aurora Abigail Grace. God bless you.
Do I give this to my dad?
Yeah, well, you take it. Okay. Brother Claude has a smile that's bigger than his face. Praise God. Isn't this great? Well, I guess I'll have you stand. I want to read some scripture. We go into the dedication. Once a quarter, we have baby dedications here at Calvary Gospel Church. Seems like the number just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and we've got a whole lot of babies on the way. And I guess there's more than one way to grow a church. Hebrews, the 5th chapter, verse 11 through 14, there is a passage of Scripture that seemingly has no bearing whatsoever on baby dedications, but you have to understand, once a quarter we have baby dedications, just like weddings. Since I've been the pastor here, we're working on like 350 weddings. Now, to the guests who are here, please understand the last week of August, I will be here 38 years. So that's a long time. But with all the baby dedications, in order not to repeat, you know, it kind of keeps you scratching for materials. There's just so many scriptures in the Bible, you know, dealing with rearing children. But Hebrews 5, verse 11, Paul says, the writer of the book of Hebrews, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. In other words, I got a lot to tell you, but I'm not for sure you're going to listen. Don't know that you can really comprehend this. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again to be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. In other words, the growth, spiritual growth process seemed to be reversed. They should be teachers. Instead, they have need of people teaching them. Instead of eating meat like an adult Christian would, they have need of milk. Verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So I want to take my sermon title from verse 14, and I take the phrase, by reason of use, and use this as a title today. And God bless you, may be seated. By reason of use, that simply means that muscles, bones, such are strengthened when we use them. You know, one thing is, it's so miraculous, and we talk about this all the time, and that's the birth of a child. I just don't know how in the world that people could believe in evolution. You see a child born, it's just so remarkable. But then, on the other hand, to see a child develop into adulthood is also a great miracle, to see how they grow and see how they develop. So what we want to do, we just want to talk about this for a moment. You know, your child, you bring your child in the church and you tell your child, now sit here and don't wiggle. And they wiggle anyway. And the reason why is because while you're telling them not to wiggle, it's just like God put the wiggle in them. And this is something that's very, very natural. When my oldest son, John, was a child, we were in school at Texas Bible College in Houston, Texas, and my dad and mom came down, took us out to a restaurant, and John wiggled so much, and he was sitting by my dad. My dad told him, said, son, you're going to rub a hole in my side. I want you to settle down. Well, what happened was, he finally told John, he said, John, I'll give you a quarter if you'll be still for 10 minutes. Don't move at all. And John, he wanted that quarter, because this was back in 64. And a quarter was quite a treat for a kid. And he sat there and he sat there. And, of course, we continued to eat our meal. And it was so nice, him not moving and talking and wiggling. And all of a sudden, he just blurted out. He just like he went wild. He said, "I can't do this any longer. I can't." He just simply had to wiggle. And then along came Steve, our youngest son, and we thought that John had the wiggles, but we went to Texas one time. We arrived in the middle of the night and went to my mom and dad's place. We had not too many beds to sleep in. So my dad took Steve and said, "Son, you can sleep with me." And so Steve was so excited about that. In the middle of the night, Dad gets up and brings him, puts him in our bed. And he says, "He'll wear out the bed sheets in one night." When he was, I guess, about four or five, maybe five, four, I think, in that area, we took him over to J.C. Penney's for some tennis shoes. So we got these tennis shoes and they were just the kind that he wanted, and we got them to the house, and a week later, they were coming apart. So we went back over to J.C. Penney's, and they gave him another pair. The guy looked at him and said, "Man, look like somebody's really used these." So they gave him another pair. Well, the next pair lasted about a week, and we said, "No, we're not taking these back, Steve. You're going to have to wear them." Well, he had worn a hole in the sole of them. So we go back over to J.C. Penney's, and we had no idea that we were going to get our money back. In fact, we were going to complain about it. So we went in. Sure enough, the same guy was there. And I said, "We need to get another pair of tennis shoes." So he looked at these, and he disappeared. And what he did, he went and got the manager. So the manager came in and looked at him, and they had a little conference over there, and they called us over and said, "You know what? We're going to give you your money back, and we suggest you go some other place and buy shoes for him." Be still. Don't wiggle. And it's like they can't, because that's their metabolism. You see these kids up here. You see how they're singing and waving and everything. Steve, something happened to him. I don't know for sure. He dropped something on his foot and broke his foot. So we take him in to the doctor, and they put a cast on his foot. And they put a walking heel on the cast. And we asked, "How soon can he walk?" And said, "Well, you know, he's young, and he's not real heavy. And the bones seem to grow pretty fast. His feet are not really developed. So as soon as he gets where he can put weight on his heel, on his foot, he can walk." Well, we saw the other boys take out across the backyard, and there's a wood fence. So these boys just kind of climbed the fence, and here goes Steve. He's right behind him, hobbling along with his cast. He gets on the top, jumps off the top, and lands on that foot. I said, "Oh, no," and just took right out after those kids. And of course, you know, he just grimaced quite a bit when he hit the ground. I said, "Well, he's got a little pain." Well, would you believe that he complained that his cast was weak or loose? So we brought him in and set him down. Would you believe, in one afternoon playing with the boys, he wore all the sole off of it? It had no sole at all. You slide it up and down on his foot and take it back in. And the doctor said, "Well, I guess this was a mistake," but telling him that it's okay for him to do whatever he wanted to do. So, you know, here you see him wearing this cast off. Now, one of the things that we have to understand is that babies, when they're born in the world, you know, they want everything. That is, as far as eating is concerned. I was real concerned about our little Ava, because she just started gaining so much weight. And Lana says, "Oh, that's baby fat." And I thought, well, I'll tell you what, she's going to be like one of these big Grant girls. And I'm sorry about that, Belinda. I don't know why I looked at you when I said that. Back the tape up. Just erase that. Really, her little arms were so puffy, and her wrist just a straight line around there, and you know she didn't move a whole lot. But all of a sudden, she decided she wanted to crawl, and crawled she did, and crawl she did, and she wouldn't stop crawling. And you put her on the bed, she's going to crawl and fall off the bed. You know, it doesn't make any difference what you put her on; she's going to crawl. And after a while, she gets up and she starts to walk. And within a week's time, she was walking real good when she started. And Lana said, oh, she's going to lose that baby fat. Doctor told me she would. Well, I got to look at myself, and I thought, well, I don't think I ever lost mine, you know. So, I'm telling you, I remember how our boys were, but I had forgotten. I just never seen anybody with energy like little Ava. Lana wanted to enroll her in some climbing classes, and Marvin and I both said, she doesn't need climbing classes. She could be an instructor in a climbing class. And she graduated from the high chair, and she has her own chair. It's got a booster in it, and she climbs up in there. She climbs over the side and in there. And she doesn't have any fear at all. But one thing that I did notice, all of a sudden, I noticed her face was changing. I told Sister Grant, I said, you know, her little round cheeks, I said, she's getting pretty slim in the face. She said, yeah, she's losing that baby fat. I said, is this all? She assured me it's the energy that she's putting out. She's burning calories, but not only is she burning calories, she's developing muscle and bones. Now it's amazing how slim she is. Because I thought when she's this age, she'd probably weigh 60 pounds and not move around very much. Here she is. And you know, the thing about it is, you've come to dedicate your child. You're going to look back at this day, and you're going to look at pictures. And you know, they're hardly young, and then they're grown. On our refrigerator, Sister Grant has a picture of Lana when Lana was a little girl, and the other grandkids when they're little. And here, Lana has her own baby, wanting several more. So we don't have any room at our house, so they're going to have to wait till we get And then the crucial time comes when you have to open your hand and you have to let them fly or teach them to fly. You know, I really enjoy the outdoors. We live right in the middle of 40 acres of land, built a house right in the middle of it. It was a big hay field. We put trees around, and before we got trees, the robins would build their nest underneath the front porch on the light fixture. And I guess I never noticed that. But I'd see all of these robins, four of them in the nest, and each one of them seemed to have their own personality. There was always, when Mom brought the worm and Dad brought the worm, Mom and Dad both worked the nest, and they have a constant appetite. It's all they want to do is eat, just like Ava. Just eat, eat, eat. Every time you turn around, Ava can finish her meal, won't take any more, get down, go over, get up in Grandma's lap, and start eating again. And that's the way these robins were. Within a matter of a week or so, I mean, they're good size. And every time Mom hits the nest to start with, they just sit there with their mouths open, just, you know. And they're moving around. But there's one robin that I noticed the last time they were there. He was more aggressive. Now, he stayed right on the edge. He was always had his bill out. He's ready to get the first worm. And, you know, he grew bigger. He was obviously, if you looked at him, he's more developed. He's bigger. And then when Mom would come, he got where he would sit on the side of the nest. And I told Sister Grant, now he's wanting to fly. You could tell he'd lean over and didn't quite have enough courage to do this. And I guess his mother thought it's time for him to fly. And he's wanting to fly. Besides that, he's rude and he gets all the worms and he pushes the rest of the babies around. So you know what she did? She caught a worm, perched herself out on the sidewalk and just sat down there. And he's up on the side of the nest with his mouth open. He wanted that worm. And what she's saying, I think it's time for you to leave the nest. She's coaching him to do that. One of the hardest things in the world to do in raising children is to allow them to make decisions on their own and to learn to fly. That's part of parenting. But that is very, very difficult. But if you don't allow them to make choices, trust me, here's what happens. They will become angry and bitter and in some cases very resentful and rebellious. So you have to open your hands. You've got to let them fly. And, you know, I taught a lesson last Wednesday night. And I entitled the lesson, Eager to Please God. And I talked about some children are eager to please. Unfortunately, they don't always stay in that frame of mind. But the more you allow them to make decisions, now you have to guide them, you have to direct them. But I've seen parents that just, they just could not let go. And here they have teenage kids and they won't let them choose colors and they won't let them make any choices. Here's what happens. It's like when your child is born in the world, it's like you getting this brand new car and someone gives you the set of keys and says, now you can drive this car until the day in which the keys are asked back. And so you make all the decisions, you take care of the car. And all of a sudden, your child comes up and says, now I want the keys to my car, that is, to my life. And I want to drive it myself. Now, I see these kids, it seemed like I just dedicated them yesterday. Now, they're getting driver's license. And I'm wondering, how safe is the road with them out there, you know? Really? I remember Marvin came to live with us, and he was just such a quiet type guy, and we didn't know Marvin very well. We knew his mom and dad, but he came to live with us, and oh, what a blessing he's been through the years for us. But one time we were stopped at 12 and 18. Now, this is right after he got driver's license, and he got himself a pickup truck, a brown Ford truck, I think it was. So we stopped at 12 and 18. Well, he comes down 12 and 18. We didn't know who it was. And he's going to turn and go south on AB the way we're going. And he went around the corner just screaming the tires. My wife says, oh, my, how stupid. Oh, that's Marvin. So when we got home, we had a little talk with him. You wonder just how safe it is, but that's part of the growing up process. And all of you who have these beautiful young children, it is your responsibility to guide them, direct them. And even when they make choices, you need to be in the process of this so that they make wise choices. But for the most part, you know, it's... To train up a child, you know, it is the greatest challenge in life, that is parenting. I don't know of a challenge greater than that. I've been pastor here for a long time, but I can tell you, I think just raising three boys was a much greater challenge than pastoring here. Well, you may say, but Brother Grant, you had all the parents and all the children. Yeah, but I had the parents helping with his kids, you know. But you have to teach them to become adults. But how do you do that? You start early, and if you grow by reason of use, and that's how you are educated, that is, by reason of use. You know, you can give them all the principles you want to, but there's a time when you have to say, look, we want to show you how to do this. And I've known of girls growing up and didn't even know how to use a washing machine. Seriously. I've known of boys growing up and didn't even know how to iron a shirt. Now, you know, that didn't happen in our home. I said, these boys are going to learn how to wash dishes. We didn't have any girls. Wash dishes and learn how to cook. And, you know, they make mistakes. Steve made a pizza one time and put it on the table. And John picked it up and tried to cut it. It was not cuttable, I'm telling you. So it was a winter night and it was snowing. John goes and opens the back door and throws it out in the snowbank, way out close to a little stable we had out there, and it just landed like this. Steve went, they made a big joke out. I said, Mom, come and make us a pizza. So the snow piled up around it, and it disappeared. Come spring, would you believe? That is a true story now. Come spring, would you believe that during the thaw, everything thawed out, and here's Steve's pizza stuck in a piece of ice out there. And isn't it true that sometimes parents can, you know, the quickest and easiest way for you is just do it yourself. But that's not what parenting is all about. Because they grow by reason of use. Paul is talking about spiritual growth. So he talks about a growth that is not as tangible from the standpoint of it's not as physical, but he talks about spiritual growth. But for them to grow emotional, it's also by reason of use. You know, I've always felt that children need an exposure to difficult things. Things that cause some emotional alarm as much as they need to be in a peaceful atmosphere. I think it's only right that preachers preach on hell and sometimes scare kids half to death. You may say, oh, I can never do that. Oh. I think that your child, you know, for you to shelter your child, it does your child an injustice. When we pastored in Shawano, a neighbor that had a couple of kids that was lived right next to a couple in our church, she sheltered those kids so they could only play outside, only expose themselves to the sun like 30 minutes a day. I'm not for sure I'm correct on that, but about 30 minutes a day. And she'd cover them up and put hats on them, and when she gave them a snack, it was like a half of an Oreo cookie, that's all. And three sips of milk. And she's trying to prevent them from catching colds and such. You know what happened? Kids stayed sick all the time because their immune system just couldn't take care of it. You know, when I was a kid and I used to get sick, and of course, I was the only boy, you know. My dad, he was kind of a roughshod guy. You get sick, he said, pull off your shoes and roll up your pants and go down and wade in the stream half a day. That was his cure for the cold. Comical. Even now, I don't know why I'm not giving you much instructions today, you know. But, you know, when I get sick, well, I can eat. I can eat when I'm sick or I can eat when I'm well. I can just eat. Sister Grant gets sick and she'll lay in there and I'll bring her something. She says, oh, if I just had some soup. And so I go get her a little cup of soup and she looks at that and says, why so much? I said, well, hon, there's only like 3 bites here, you know. But she might eat a half a cracker and maybe 2 teaspoons full of soup. Now, what is that? Tell me. One time she was eating and, you know, she kind of eats like a bird. And she left 3 beans. She had a 3-bean casserole. She left 3 beans. She says, I said, why don't you eat those 3 beans? She says, I'm full. I said, you can't eat 3 beans? She says, no. I told you I was full. I said, when I'm full, I can eat 3 cheeseburgers. You know? Oh, my. Oh. But you teach them everything from personal hygiene to money management. One of our grandchildren, what happened, their parents allowed this child to buy all the groceries. It's her responsibility. Go buy the groceries. And mom helped her make out a grocery list, and she went and bought all the groceries. And then it's her responsibility to keep the house clean. And so you teach them everything from personal hygiene to money management, to be kind and courteous to others, to personal prayer, from being thankful to giving in offerings and giving to people who are in need. What a challenge. But, you know, you can do it. You can do it with God's help. I say, you can do it. You can do it with God's help. Somebody asked me, said, Pastor, young minister, how can you pastor all these people? I said, well, I tell you what, I kind of grew up with this church. Probably couldn't have when I first came to Calvary Gospel Church because I was only 31 years of age. But I've grown up with these people. You know what's going to happen with you, parents? Now, you don't like for me to say this, probably. You don't like to hear this, but you're going to grow up with these kids. You're going to learn so much. Then when your grandkids come along and you start taking care of them, you're going to say, I wish I knew back then when I had my kids what I know now. And Sister Grant and I are saying that very thing about our great-grandchild. Wish we knew back then. I think our 3 boys would have turned out better. You know? It's not that they turned out bad. But you know, we could have just pushed them much further along in life. They wouldn't have had a lot of the bumps and bruises and things that they had. But you grow up with them. And James says, now, if any man lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth liberally. So you have come to this place in which you choose to dedicate your child. And remember, while it is indeed a dedication of a child, it's also the dedication of the parents. It's the dedication to the proper care and the proper upbringing, rearing of these children. A rededication to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'd like for you to stand at this time. We have chosen 6 men of our congregation that will come to the front at this time and help us in dedicating the children. So if those men will come, I'm not for sure who you chose, Brother Punzel, but I guess they all left, didn't they? All right, we need Brother Hawk, would you come down here? Okay. I'm sorry, I thought we had this all lined up. Brother Andrew, can you break away and come down? All right. We need 3 more, okay? We need 3 more ministers. Is Brother O'Neill in here? Okay, Brother Richie. Brother O'Neill, and Brother Uselman, you'll come, okay? All right, now we have it, okay. What happened? We dismissed some classes, and I think some of these men that were asked are working in these classes. Now, if it be your intent to dedicate your child or children, what we'd like for you to do is come to the front and just face these gentlemen, if you would. So come on down to the front. All right. Over here. Okay. Do we have other? Don't we have some more? Okay, Brother Uselman, if you'll go over here, Brother Hawk has two, okay? Okay, Brother O'Neill. You just stay close by, all right? Okay. All right, now I want the family members and friends to come and gather up close behind them. Just showing your support for this dedication. Would you do that? Now, if it be your intent to dedicate your child, would you please place your child in the arms of a minister? Would you do that? Now, some children don't feel comfortable, especially the older ones, but that's all right. All right, now this is indicative of you recognizing the lordship over your child, that God is the rightful owner, that God has given you this child is on loan from God. All souls are mine, Ezekiel said. The souls of the children, the souls of men, the souls of women, they're all yours. Now God gave you this child. You are a steward over this child. However, you must remember that your primary concern is that God's will be fulfilled in the life of your child. So I'm going to pray a prayer of dedication, and then we're going to pass the child back, and we're going to pray a prayer of dedication for the parents. Would you go to the Lord in prayer with me? We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love. We thank you, God, for your tender care. We thank you, God, that you have allowed these children to be born in this world to these parents. I'm praying, God, that you would keep your hand upon these children. We've seen so many children, Lord Jesus, that's been dedicated through the years, grow up, marry, have their own children, dedicate their children, go into the work of the Lord. And I'm praying, God, because I believe that you have a very special plan. Oh, God, you have a purpose for each child that's here. And I'm praying, God, that these children would find their purpose in life. And I ask you, God, that you deal with them in a very special way. Keep your hand upon them, Lord, till that day, Lord Jesus, that they walk down the aisle and give their heart to the Lord in repentance. Until that day in which they're baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, I pray, God, that you would prompt them toward eternal life. Then, Lord, may they walk through this life doing service to your kingdom and your cause until the day that they enter into eternal life. We ask, God, that you be with them. So, Lord, in the presence of these witnesses, in the presence of all of the angels that are present, and in your presence, God, we dedicate these children to your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Now, if you would just pass the child back. Would you do that? Now, what we want to do, we want to dedicate our parents, all right? So all the family and friends, if you just reach out and just put your hand on their back, would you do that? Now, Lord Jesus, we make this contact with these parents. We ask, oh God, that you grant to them the wisdom that they need to bring up these children to know you, to fear you, to love the scripture and love the principles of God. I pray, Lord Jesus, give them wisdom, O God, as they direct these children. Lord Jesus, help them, O God, to understand always, that they are never to be selfish in this case, that these children really belong to you, God. And maybe the call of God upon a life of one of these children would take that child to some far off land to be a missionary, preach the gospel, or maybe a city outside of Madison to preach the gospel in some city in Wisconsin. But I pray, God, as these parents dedicate themselves, Lord, that they understand that it's all about you, Lord. It's not about them. And while we cherish family life, I pray, God, that they would understand that they are only stewards and that they dedicate themselves to that cause. But may they offer a safe pavilion, one that has peace. May they offer a place, Lord Jesus, in which the child can grow and know you and feel comfortable with your plan for their life. In Jesus' name, we dedicate these parents. And everybody says amen. Amen. Lift your hands and praise the Lord, would you? Thank you, God. 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 Now, family members, if you want to congratulate each other, please do so. Now, we're going to have Brother Punzel to take all of them out in the lobby. We'll have receiving lines out there, and we will conclude the service here. So if our praise singers will come, they're here already. So if you want to go out, and I will conclude the service. So praise singers will sing at this time.